All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We've got these books that come in, the five heresies examined. I know a few of you raised your hand. If you'd like to see me after church, they're $5 each. That pays for the book and shipping. And I've got quite a few. I know some of you raised your hand. So you give me $5, you get the book. You give me an IOU, you get the book after you pay your... Amen. I'll know who I'm dealing with. I know who I'm dealing with. And a lot of times we have good intentions. We tell somebody, oh, yeah, I'm good for it. And one day turns into a week, turns into a month, turns into a year. And 3 years later, I'm still mad at you for not giving me that $5 for the book. No, we don't. No, you lay it away. And when you get it all saved up, I don't want a quarter a week. But we're going to continue on this study of the tongue, signs, and healing in Matthew chapter 10. The first week we did baptismal regeneration. We showed how John's baptism, Jesus said, John indeed baptized with water, but not many days hence you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And we showed you where Peter saw that. And all of this stuff we're looking at, there are churches out there. Every time you pass a Church of Christ, and they're big, they're huge. I mean, they're basing their whole faith, their whole denomination, their whole religious system on John's baptism. I mean, that's why they're there. They're like Apollos. We looked at that guy in the Bible, and they're just going through what they see something in the Bible, so that's what we must do. And you can't do that. I was thinking on the way to church, you know, we have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. That's everybody sees that. That's not a problem. But it almost needs to be, and I'm not teaching heresy, but if you look at it like the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then the gospel of the grace of God. If you could kind of look at it like that, because God switches plans and changes plans. When they stoned Stephen, who was full of the Holy Ghost, God said, that's it, I'm cutting them off, I'm going to go to the nation of Israel, or go to the Gentiles. He calls Paul, and from then on, he's dealing with the Gentiles. He's going to go back dealing with the nation of Israel in the tribulation. But people just see something in the Bible and think, well, that must apply to us. I was talking to Brother Gaddis last week. He was talking about this guy who cut his hand off because the Bible says you're better off to cut your hand off, pluck your eye out. And there's even a guy who plucked his eye out based on the Bible because he couldn't stop looking at the wrong thing. He plucked his own eye because that's what the Bible says. I got to at least give him credit. It says it, but it's not applicable for us today. And then Brother Gaddis brought this up. He said, well, you know, I think it's more of a figurative thing. And it can be, yes, but in the tribulation, if your hand or your eye or any part of your body is going to cause you to go to hell, you're better off to cut that thing off or pluck it out than to go to hell. There is a time when it does apply. And just because you see something in the Bible doesn't mean, well, it must apply to us. That's like that guy we showed the video last week, the guy that did the vineyard thing. He goes in and says, when are you going to start doing the stuff? You know, all the stuff in the Bible. It doesn't work like that. And it's just a failure to rightly divide the Bible. Matthew chapter 10 in verse 1. And when he, Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So Jesus gave these 12 apostles this power to do miraculous signs and wonders. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12:12. I only have one page here. I'm just going off of, I've done this study so much and I've debated with so many of these people and I know this very, very well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I'm in 1 Corinthians after I told you to go to 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. That's what we're talking about this morning. Tongues, signs, healings, miracles, people being raised from the dead, the blind getting their eyes open, the deaf getting their ears open, the lame walking. I mean, we're talking miraculous things. That's what we're talking about. Tongues, signs, and healing. And we're really going to get into the tongues thing this morning. There are only three places in the Bible where tongues are spoken. And we're going to look at all three of those places where they're actually spoken. There's other places where it's talking about tongues, but they weren't actually spoken. Before we get started, turn to 1 Corinthians 14:22 before we get looking at where they were spoken. 1 Corinthians 14:22. I want to get this on, I would say tape, but now it's the internet, on a digital drive. We tape things, but don't do that anymore. 1 Corinthians 14:22. And let me say this about anybody, anytime you're talking doctrine with anybody, you and them need to keep your feelings out of it. Because feelings does not equate facts. Feelings does not equate truth. And so many times you'll talk to somebody who's maybe, they believe they spoke in tongues. You're not going to convince them. You're not going to be able to tell them. That's like talking to somebody who claims to be a Christian and they're homosexual. They feel like God's accepted them. They feel like it's okay. You take them with the Bible and they start getting upset and they start getting frustrated and they see what it says, but they know how they feel. You don't base any doctrine on how you feel or any experiences. And when you ask a charismatic or somebody who believes in this what tongues are for, they'll give you all kinds of answers. But the Bible already answers what tongues are for. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. That's what they're for. They are a sign. Just as the healing was a sign, just as the miracles were a sign, just as the wonders were a sign, it was a sign. Now we got to find out who requires a sign. Go to 1 Corinthians 1:22. Same book. We're not even leaving the book. Same author, same book, just in a different chapter, but we're still in the same book. So Paul said, tongues are for a sign, and 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, for the Jews require a sign. This is elementary. This is really basic. These people that get involved with this stuff, they just don't take time to study the Bible and to see what it actually says. All right, let's look at every instance in the Bible where tongues are spoken. Acts chapter 2. Let's look at places in the Bible. Let me say this. I would like the screen for this reason. I'm not going to do it, but just to show you something. So let's say we've got the gospel of the kingdom, and we put a circle here. When Jesus shows up, he's born, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But just imagine a circle here. And then you got the gospel of the grace of God, because they reject the Holy Ghost. They reject the Old Testament, they rejected God the Father. In the New Testament, they rejected the Son. They crucified him. In the book of Acts, they rejected Stephen, who was full of the Holy Ghost. So you've got the gospel of the kingdom, and then you've got the gospel of the grace of God, but there's like a little interlink right here. And then between, you got this bubble over here, and you got this bubble here, but there's a little transition right there in that middle. And that's where you can put the book of Acts. It's going from the gospel of the kingdom to the gospel of the grace of God, and you don't want to get your doctrine out of Acts. Acts is a transitional book. It's going from one to another. I've heard a preacher say one time, you can treat it like what it's called. It's called an axe. You can hurt yourself with an axe. And that's true. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost, of course we know that's a Jewish feast, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So here is a chapter and verse in the Bible where people spake in tongues. How many times have you ever seen somebody go to speak in tongues and there was a cloven fire above their head as it went on? That's what happened. Is that not what happened? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Where is those cloven tongues of fire at? When they're speaking in tongues, when you see Benny Hinn, you see these guys get up, where's the cloven tongue of fire? You don't see it. We see here, of course we know the Jews require a sign, tongues are for a sign. So here in 1 Peter, or Acts chapter 2, we see it's the day of Pentecost there in verse 1. Look in verse 5. We did this with baptism, but I got to do it for this study also. There were dwelling at Jerusalem what? Jews. There were Jews. Verse 10. Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. They're proselytes to Judaism. Look at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Look at verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel... I wonder who Peter's talking to here. I just don't know. I'm not real sure. I can't figure it out. You know, it's very vague. The Bible really doesn't say specifically who he's talking to. Are you kidding me? The Jews, the tongues are for a sign. The Jews require a sign. And this thing, there's Jews all through here. It's all through here. All right, let's get back to this Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Pentecostals and some Church of God and even some Baptists. There was a guy who was at a Southern Baptist church in Cordova we were going to after we left Glory Land. And this guy had a guy fill in. And he got up and he started speaking in tongues and saying how that Baptists really ought to be getting the Holy Ghost of God and how we're afraid of God. I mean, just craziness. Just anyway, all those groups shout amen when we read this verse. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his what, in what language? His own language. Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our tongue wherein we were born? There is no unknown language here. They fully knew what these people were saying. They were speaking in Aramaic or Jewish or, I mean, whatever. But they could hear them in their own language. I'm not going to read all those names there. Verse 10, not going to read those names. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So we see the first time that tongues are spoken in the Bible, we got these cloven things of fire setting on people as they're speaking in tongues. I've never seen that. If you're going to speak in tongues, I need to see some cloven tongues of fire. And when people speak in tongues, everybody understood what was said. Everybody. Go to Acts chapter. So that's the one time. Let's go look at another one. Acts chapter 10. Again, keep your feelings out of it. Brother, I was slain in the spirit. Show me that in the Bible. Show me that term in the Bible, slain in the spirit. Acts chapter 10, look in verse 44. And those of you that was here when I did the study on the baptism, showed how Peter got the vision. I'm not going to go back through all that, but Peter is told to go preach to these Gentiles, and he doesn't understand it, but he does it anyway. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them all, on all them which heard the word. And they of the what? Who's the circumcision? We know that. That's what the Bible says. Which believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why were they astonished? Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And how did they know they got the Holy Ghost? Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So the tongues was a sign to the Jews that the Gentiles got the Holy Ghost. You see how the sign there worked? So let's say these Gentiles would have said, man, we believe we got the Holy Ghost. The Jews would have said, no, you don't. No, you don't. We don't believe you, lying dog. You ain't got the Holy Ghost. They heard them speak with tongues and they said, oh, yeah, I guess they do get the Holy Ghost. They do have the Holy Ghost. So we see here when somebody actually spoke in tongues, there was a Jew present. And it was to signify to them that somebody had received the Holy Ghost. That was God's way of dealing with that. Let's go to the third place, Acts chapter 19. The third and final, and again, all these are in the book of Acts. Again, now when Paul, and we're going to cover what Paul talks about tongues, because again, you got to remember, it's a transition. There are still Jews around when Paul is doing his ministry. So he's going to the church, the Gentiles, and he's also got Jews he's dealing with. And there's just that intermingling, that transition, that gray area. But we're gonna get more into it here in a second. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos, y'all remember Apollos? We talked about him. Remember, he only knew John's baptism, was at Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. So Paul's traveling, getting to Ephesus. And he said unto them, have ye received... Now, these are Apollos' disciples. Have you received the Holy Ghost since we believed? And they said, what are you talking about? We don't even know if there's a Holy Ghost. That's because they're under Paul's ministry. And if you go to a Church of Christ, you're going to get the exact same thing. You're not going to know if there's a Holy Ghost because you're still stuck in John's baptism. Verse 3, and he said unto them, unto then, what were you baptized? And they gave a right, truthful answer. Unto the Church of Christ baptism. Unto water baptism. Unto John's baptism. I know we're off of that study, but it's right there. Like I told you, each one of these studies, I could take 3 or 4 weeks and break down. I mean, we could drag this out for a while. I didn't even cover this when we did John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. That's the water baptism, saying unto the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. All of the men were about 12. In verse 8, and he went into the what? Who goes to synagogues? Jews. And Ephesus here, and I could break it down into a long study, but obviously there are Jews here. Paul goes into a synagogue. It was an evidence of them receiving the Holy Ghost. Now, let me ask you this today. For us to receive the Holy Ghost, does somebody got to lay hands on you? No, but in this transition period, we see this here. Let's look down in verse 8. Paul's still in Ephesus, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. I like Paul. He's just my kind of guy. He went to the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Paul didn't go there to join in their worship. He went in to say, you're wrong. You're not doing it the right way. This is what the scriptures say. And you need to get right with God. You need to come to the knowledge of the truth. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily. I mean, he's going to go somewhere else. Paul is just argumentative. Oh, preacher, we shouldn't be argumentative. We ought to get along. That's not how Paul was. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. See, that's who Paul's dealing with. Paul is just, it's a flux. It's a fluid situation. It's going from the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus preached and told his disciples to go preach to the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul is dealing with Jews and Gentiles. And when he runs across a Jew, he changes his message. Pastor Andrew talked about that when he did his study. He showed you when Paul ran across a Jewish person, he gave him Peter's gospel. When he ran across a Gentile, he gave him his gospel. It's just, you don't want to go to the book of Acts to get your doctrine. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. How did Paul get these miracles? Because he was an apostle. God gave him the ability to do things. Verse 12. So that from his body were brought unto him the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So people were, let's say, Brother Bowen was sick. I got his handkerchief and I took it to Paul and I got him to touch his handkerchief. He got healed. Man, that's some power. That is some legitimate power. That's some serious power. So Paul had this ability to heal all. I mean, they didn't even have to come themselves. He brought his tie. Brother Bowen, give me your tie. Let me run it to Paul. I'd run it to Paul. Paul would touch it and he'd get healed. That's a power. But again, that's an apostolic power. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's see what Paul has to say about tongues. 1 Corinthians 14. He lays some groundwork and some rules on speaking in tongues. Well, brother, that's in the New Testament. That's in the gospel of the grace of God. And let's find out. Let's see what the Bible says about it. You got to remember, he's still dealing with Jews, even when he's writing this letter to the church at Corinth, which, by the way, was the most carnal church, was the most worldly church. We're going to read the whole chapter. And I have to, because he's talking about tongues. He talks about tongues in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 14, and 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to read all of 14, and we'll get into some of the other. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. So Paul is saying, you're better off to prophesy than you are to speak in tongues. Now, if I quote something out of the Bible, I am not a prophet. A prophet is somebody that God gives a message to that he sends to whoever. So Paul is saying, you need to be a prophet. You got to remember, the Bible wasn't written when, I mean, it's being written as Paul's writing it to the Corinthians. The Bible's not put together. So God was giving people prophecies to tell the church. So the church would come together. A guy would stand up and say, this is what God's told me. And either it was or it wasn't, but it could be. And you had to judge whether you thought it was a spiritual thing or not. Now we have a Bible. If Brother Stephen stands up and says something that's crazy, out of the way, that goes against the Bible, we know it's not true, but during that time, we didn't have that. So he's talking about prophesying, a prophet. A prophet prophesies. We don't have prophets today, and we don't speak in tongues today. And I'm going to get into that as we go through here. But Paul is saying you're better off to prophesy, which means get something from God, get it in front of the church, and give it out. You're better off to do that because they understand you. We're about to see that. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. A prophet, somebody that God's given a message to. You got to remember that. This isn't just somebody who gets up and preaches the Bible, somebody who just gets, because if whatever I say is not a revelation to me, it's a revelation that God's given through the Bible, but I'm not a prophet. You understand what I'm saying? Verse 5, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So God is saying, or Paul is saying here, through God is using Paul to say, put in the scriptures, that you are, it's better, you're greater if you prophesy versus speaking, which we do neither today. We don't do either one of those. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even these things, without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So if you're in the military and you know that the trumpet's supposed to give a certain sound and you're to ready up and go, that's how they got their message out quick. They didn't have text messages or phone calls. The trumpet told everybody what to do. But if the trumpet got up and just blew some crazy sound, well, what am I supposed to get ready? Go to bed? Am I supposed to go to eat? What am I supposed to do? So likewise, ye, except utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are in many be so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall say unto him that speaketh like a barber. Hang on, let me read verse 11 again. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. So Paul is saying, if somebody gets up and utters gibberish or utters a foreign language that I know not of, and I've been in situations where I was the only one that knew English and nobody around me knew English, and I didn't know their language. It's very difficult. Even so, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So Paul's saying, if you want to be a blessing, you want to have the best gift, seek the one that edifies the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So he's saying, if you're going to speak in an unknown tongue, you need to interpret to the people listening what you just said. It does no good. It does absolutely no good not to know, because we read over there in Acts, when those people got up and spoke in tongues, every man heard their own language. They didn't need to have an interpreter. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So if Brother Jeff was to get up and speak in Spanish, French, anything, and I don't understand it, I can't say amen because I don't know what he said. That's what Paul's saying. How can you say amen? Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Does Paul put tongues in perspective right there? It's not that big of a deal, but there are churches out there that make it the deal. They will tell you if you have never spoken in tongues, you are not saved because you do not have the Holy Ghost. That's not what that says. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. I like, quit being a little kid. Grow up. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will not that, and hang on, let me start verse 21 again. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they, well, that is a weird, start again. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other, the Bible's always right and I'm wrong, so I'm not, you know, I don't care if it's conjoined and it's got, you know, you got proper English and you got structure and all that. If the Bible says something crazy and off the wall, it's the crazy and off the wall is right. Exactly. I'm trying to keep this in English, yes. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. All right, this is in reference. Keep your finger here and turn to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. So he references here, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. But Isaiah 28. I didn't write down the reference. All right, let's look in verse 11. Isaiah 28:11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. He is clearly identifying or making a distinction to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. So who is this people? Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Let's find out who this people is. And I think you've already got an idea. I think you kind of know. Look in verse 3. Isaiah 1, verse 3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. What, man, what a thing to say. A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. Pretty bad. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of who? Israel. We clearly see that this prophecy is a prophecy to the nation of Israel, the Jews. And that you've got to study to show yourself, to prove unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. All this stuff we're looking at, if the proper divisions are made, it's real simple. Go back to 1 Corinthians. So he says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips. All right, verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And yet you see most of these people standing up in churches, not with unbelievers in there, but they're all Christians. And boy, they're just focusing on speaking in tongues. Well, they're not even for believers. They're for unbelievers. It's to convince the unbelievers, the Jews, that God is doing something. We saw that when Peter was preaching to those Gentiles. And they said, we got the Holy Ghost. The Jews that sat in there said, no, you didn't. They started speaking in tongues. Like, well, yeah, I guess you did. That's what it's for. It was a sign. Verse 22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but them believe not, but prophesying serveth not them that believe, but them believe not, but them which believe. So if a prophet was to stand up from God, like Jonah was a prophet, Paul was a prophet, anybody that gets a revelation from God, and it's from God, he is a prophet. He prophesies. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? And I'm telling, have you ever been in service where people spoke in tongues? Seriously, have you been in there where people just all over, they're just, you think, man, this is, they're crazy. They have, God is not in it. If you've got the Holy Ghost of God, it will either bear witness to whatever's going on around you, or it will say, this ain't right. And I've been in there, and I'm telling you, it's demonic. Even though these people claim to be serving God. It just look, put earplugs in, totally, and just watch what's going on. And you will see insanity. You will see lunacy. You'll see women falling out on the floor wearing a dress with it up over her head. You think God's in? I mean, just craziness. And people running over them with a sheet trying to cover them because they know they're going to act like that. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. So when a man gets a person gets a revelation from God and they prophesy, and yeah, that's good. Like Jonah, when he walked into that city and prophesied, they got right. And thus are the secrets of his heart manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. I mean, can you, I mean, look how much trouble we have in the church today with a completed Bible. We've got the perfect, pure word of God. And look at all the chaos and craziness we got in churches today. Can you imagine church at Corinth? Everybody coming, oh, God gave me a message. He stands up and he says something crazy and off the wall. The next guy stands up and God really did give him a message. And he's, I mean, what a, and then a guy gets up and sings a song and God gives up and gives an interpret. I mean, what a mess, man. Then a guy gets up and speaks in tongues. Verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue. So all right, he's about to lay the groundwork. If you're going to speak in tongues, this is how you're to do it. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. So these church services where you've got people all over the congregation speaking in tongues, that's the Bible wouldn't have put it in here if it wasn't important. You're to do two or three. If it's more than that, one of y'all is out of line. Somebody has violated the scriptures. Two or three of you is probably okay, but the rest of you, the 14th or the 500th one, y'all are out of line. And that by, of course, let one interpret. And I'm telling you, I have never seen tongues demonstrated where somebody interpreted what they just said. Never have I seen that. They'll get up and blah, 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 everybody, glory to God. Well, where's the interpretation? What are you glorying to? What are you saying amen to? But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. So if no one can interpret what this guy's up there gibbering about, he can't say anything. There has to be, there must be an interpreter. And let him speak to himself and to God. And you say, well, how does somebody know if there's going to be an interpreter or not? Well, God's in control of all of this. So if God gave me tongues, and I didn't think there was an interpreter. If God said there's no interpreter, I can't say nothing. But if I blah, 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 and there's no interpreter, I'm wrong because there's got to be an interpreter. Let the prophet speak by two or three and let the others judge. And that's what they had to do, man. During this time, they didn't have a completed, all of Paul's books, you know, written in a nice little leather-back bound book that we could go to and say, hey, let's check that out. There is so much flux and just uncertainty and who's really of God. This guy stands up and says, God just gave me a prophecy and boom, boom, boom. You know what? He could be right or he could be wrong. And you had to judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one. And listen, this is what had to happen. When the early church met and they got up to preach, they had to hope that they were tuned into God and plugged into God to the point where they'd get up and say stuff and it be of God. And then the next guy would get up and he would prophesy and it would be of God. That's how it was supposed to have been. For you may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be comforted. But get this now, and the spirits and of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So let's say some guy gets up and says, Moses said in the Old Testament, we're to do the blah, blah, blah. Well, if it didn't line up, he's not subject unto the prophets. See what I'm saying? Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion. And when you see these charismatic churches and you see these people all about tongues, signs, and healings, and this it's just utter anarchy, chaos, just unruliness. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in the, all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. I don't know how much of the brethren believe this or not, but the whole chapter's on tongues. I believe this is in reference to tongues. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about singing. He's not talking about testimonies. He's not talking about, you know, giving a worship, a praise, you know, anything like that. The whole thing is tongues. I've heard independent Baptists get up, oh, the Bible says women are to keep silence in church. Well, what's the context? Tongues. And some of your main offenders in these churches are women speaking in tongues. Look, if you're going to do it, you're just bound to go ahead and be bullheaded and do it anyway, even regardless of what the Bible says, at least follow the rules. At least follow the rules. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak in tongues. That's the whole, that's what he's talking about. The whole chapter is tongues. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So when you see a woman stand up and speak in tongues, they are completely and totally 100% out of the will of God. And I don't care if they're standing in front of 1,000 people, if it's Joyce Myers or anybody else, Paula White, you just name them, they're out of the will of God. Look at verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion. Oh, no, verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject unto the what? Was Paul a prophet? Yeah. So if a woman stands up and speaks in tongues, let the spirits of the prophet, I mean, you got to be subject to, you can't say, Joseph Smith was a false prophet. He claimed to be a prophet of God. God gave him a vision. He saw angels. I don't remember the whole deal, but, you know, he was a false prophet because it didn't line up with the other prophets. The prophets that we know are of God. So these women that couldn't speak in church, that was pertaining to tongues. It was not pertaining to anything else. And I've been in independent Baptist churches. They will not let a woman do anything based on that verse. And it's wrong. It's completely wrong. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in church. Tongues. That's what the reference is. What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If a man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And that's what Paul's saying. You've got to follow his. When Paul said that God called him and gave him a mystery, gave him the gospel of the grace of God, you have to believe that. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I like that. Because just sometimes you just got to. I don't know if you remember old Sanford and Son a long time ago, but I got a shirt where it's got Fred Sanford's face on it. It says, "You big dummy." He said that all the time, and I just want you, just you big dummy, and just turn and walk away. I mean, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Quit trying to convince him. And this is hard for me because I like to debate. I like to get involved with stuff. But sometimes you just got to wash your hands of it and say, hey, if you want to be stupid, be stupid. I mean, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Now, is anybody in here trying to prophesy? Are we trying to be a prophet of God? Are we trying to get a revelation from God? No. And forbid not to speak with tongues. Now, I've debated with people, and they said, right there, the Bible says, you know, you're one saying that tongues aren't for today, but the Bible says forbid not to speak with. It also says covet to prophesy. We shouldn't be covet to prophesy. We shouldn't be trying to prophesy. We've got to come, and I'm about to prove all of this to you. We cannot be this close. Oh, my goodness. Oh, are you serious? I told myself, No. Oh. All right, go back to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Great day. 1 Corinthians 13. The Apostle Paul said that tongues would cease. And I'm about to show it to you here in the Bible. And there's some controversy surrounding this verse, and I'll cover that real quick. And I've got to quit. Oh, man. I'm aggravated. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. There are no more prophets today. They're done. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease, which means stop. Look up the word cease. It's going to stop. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. See, that's all they had was parts. That's all they had was what they had. They didn't have a completed Bible. But when that which is perfect, the Word of God, is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, let me, and I had a Pentecostal church or snake handling at Pentecostal. I mean, they was a good old fashioned, and he worked for me when I worked with the state of Ohio. And we had discussions. He's like, well, that there, what says tongues shall fail, that's just saying there's going to come a time when languages will cease. Well, nowhere does the Bible say languages are going to cease. But, and they shall, whether there be knowledge, he said, see it. All right. So watch this now. Let's Luke verse 8, and I'm going to quit here. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, remember the word prophecies, they shall fail. Prophecy shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall see. So we got prophecy and tongues. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now look back over in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, look down in verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge? So there's another one that's in there. Or by prophesying or by doctrine. See, all of this stuff that they were getting, Paul knew that once that which was perfect is come, then that which was in part would be done away. And these prophecies and these tongues and this revelation and all of this stuff was going to stop. And I'm just going to mention this. We won't turn to it for the sake of time. But listen, tongues is a transitional gift. It was there. It accomplished its purpose, just like the apostles with the healing ministry they had. And we saw that we're just me taking Brother Bowen's tie to Paul healed Brother Bowen. But by the time we get to Timothy, Paul is leaving people sick. He lost that ability. It's gone. It was a transitional. Tongues are transitional. Just because you see something in the Bible, and charismatics, Pentecostal, see people speaking, oh, it must be Russ. Man, rightly divide the Bible. Study the Bible. Amen. All right, I finished closer to 9:30, 10:30 than I have any other time, and I didn't leave any comment. Go ahead. Now, if y'all expand it now, this is on y'all. Andy, I am done. You can't hold. I don't call me somebody else. A nice theory, but it doesn't say that. Yeah. He's still wrong. It doesn't say that. And when somebody says stuff like that, that's a nice theory, but it doesn't say that. That's all you can say. I mean, there's a big thing going around that Jesus never claimed to be God. Like he says he never, I mean, the others, and you, Jesus never claimed for himself to be God. It really is in there. Where he does not say, I am God. But what a stupid thing to hang your argument on. I mean, he is God. There is so many other verses. What's that? I am God. He does not say, I am God. That's my point, Steve. That's my point. But they're like this guy over here. They'll say, well, Jesus never says, I am God, but he says me and the Father, but he doesn't use the word, I am God. So what he's saying is that which is perfect has come back. Well, that's when Jesus, but it doesn't say that. It does not say that. All right. You wasn't here last week. We covered that verse where Jesus just ripped his apostles because a guy come to him and said, I went to your apostles and they couldn't heal. And Jesus just obliterated his apostles because of the apostles' unbelief, the healer's unbelief, not the one coming. And I said this last week, anybody that goes to a healing service, they've got faith that they wouldn't be there. I mean, just the fact that you got in your car, drove to a church, got out of your car, went inside of a church, and then for a faith healer to put their hands on them and claim a healing and they don't get healed and they walk away unhealed, for that faith healer to say, well, you didn't have enough faith. Well, they're standing there, dummy. Like they came to your service to try to get healed. They've got faith or they wouldn't have come. Miss Lisa?
Well, I don't care what.
I've had them. That's the problem. Yep, that's the problem. Right. Yep. If you can't even have a final authority, if they're going to use other versions, this goes with any of Church of Christ, Catholics, Mormon, it don't matter, it whatever it is. If there is no final authority, you're wasting your time because now it's just opinions. And if I was to ever get into it, and I have, if we can't even start out with this is the Word of God, then we're yes, and they say different, things. Yeah, so which one are you going to believe? So, but anybody that doesn't believe the Word of God, if they're willing to say there is no perfect Bible and just choose whatever you want, you're just wasting your time. But all right, anybody else? All right, say a word of prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your word, Father. And God, we thank you for the instruction given to us, Father. And Lord, there are probably things, God, that we do that may not be right, but Father, it's not from wanting to or intentional, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that you would show us that whatever we're doing, whatever we believe, whatever we think about things, Father, if it's not right, Lord, I pray you'd reveal it to us. God, we do acknowledge that your word is all truth. It's all right, Father, and it's holy and it's just and it's perfect and it's pure. And Father, we're none of those things. So help us, Father, to yield to your word. God, may we take our feelings, our emotions, our opinions, our thoughts on things, Father, may we just suppress those, Father, and put them away, God, and just acknowledge that you're right. And everything, Father, all your doctrines, all your precepts, Father, are correct and true. Lord, I pray, Father, for the morning service, Lord. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified, Father. May you be pleased with the worship of these thy people, Father. And Lord, I pray, God, that if anybody comes that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, may they get saved. And God, but I also pray for the sinners or the people that are saved, Father, but are just living in a world, Father, and just haphazardly going through it, Father, and God, claiming to know you and claiming to be saved, but Father, not making much of an impact, Father. Lord, I pray you'd preach to us that are involved with that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got these books.